Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. Today, our reading comes from the Gospel according to Luke from chapter 4 in the first 13 verses, where it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during these days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man shall not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, It is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, so they will lift up their hands and your foot, you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, It is written, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Well, as you know, today is the first Sunday of the season of Lent 2019, and this is the season of 40 days and 6 Sundays, which began on Ash Wednesday, and which takes us all the way through to Easter Day. And today, on the first of these 6 Sundays, through our Gospel reading, we travel back in time to the very beginning of the public ministry of Jesus. And we know that immediately following Jesus' baptism, he's whisked away for his own time of preparation, his own 40 days. And famished and vulnerable, he's assaulted by temptations that come from the hand of the devil himself. Use your power, the devil says, to satisfy your own physical human cravings. Allow your commitment to God to be displayed by a quest for power and glory. Check and see if God's promise to protect you is genuine. And just like Noah, through 40 days and nights in the ark, or Israel through 40 years in the desert, or Moses through 40 days up the mountain, or the early Christians through their 40 days of preparation for baptism at Easter. Jesus spends this time readying himself for what is to come. As do we. And I guess there's a sense of eagerness in Lent as we have eager hearts praying that for the 40 days of Lent we'll have a time of preparation to celebrate the events of Easter with all of God's people. And we pray for it to be a time when God might stretch us and challenge us and refine us and prepare us. We pray that this period of waiting and preparation might make us ready to sing with all of God's people come Easter Sunday, Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. There was a time not so long ago that Lent would not have been marked in Protestant churches. I certainly can't remember celebrating Lent from when I was a child. That was something my Catholic friends did. They went off to chapel and they came back with this mysterious smudgy mark on their forehead. That was something unpracticed in the church I went to. And if we in the Kirk had any recognition of the season of Lent, then our focus was much more on the days of Holy Week, that time between Palm Sunday and Easter, when every evening, Monday through Friday, we would go to church and we'd gather and various preachers would come and we'd have big lengthy services to prepare ourselves for Easter. Lent as a season wasn't really marked when I was a child in the Church of Scotland. But how different things are today. Even in our increasingly secular world, for now everyone seems to know that it's Lent. And we're spoilt for choice as to what we should give up or take up for Lent. Christian Aid invites us to count our blessings while raising money for projects overseas. Tier Fund's theme is enough, inviting us to address the excess in our lives, both physically and psychologically, and to clear out the clutter and rediscover the holiness that is at the heart of life. Even the Environment Secretary, Michael Gove, is having a go at Lent. He's giving up single-use plastics for Lent in an effort to make us more aware of our impact on the planet. And he announced that just after he'd poured some water into a single-use plastic cup. And the Ecumenical Living Lent campaign, which has been promoted by the Church of Scotland moderator, Susan Brown, that offers 6 actions which could be taken up during Lent to help us to save the planet. Things like giving up single-use plastics, or using the bus, or cycling, or walking instead of taking the car. Or, here's a challenge, Ruth, buying some nothing new for 40 days. Or giving up meat. Or saving an hour of electricity by getting reacquainted with books rather than watching television. Or buying only locally sourced produce. For other people, Lent is less a time of giving up something and more of a time to do something positive. Although all these other things are actually quite positive outcomes too. There's a thing called the Lenten Positive Acts Challenge, which encourages us to make sure that we do one positive action of kindness towards other people each day. Things like phoning or visiting someone or donating to a charity or even just letting someone jump the supermarket queue if you're there. The Bible Society's focus for Lent this year is to encourage daily reading of the Bible and to discover what the Bible has to say specifically about loneliness. However it is that we choose to observe Lent, it's certainly a God-given gift to us because it's an opportunity for reflection. Reflection on our own lives, our own shortcomings, but also our potential. The word Lent, some of you will know, is a shortened version of the old English word Lenten, which means the spring season, although you wouldn't know it looking out the window today. It may have connections with the word long, tied in with the fact that each day is actually getting that little bit longer. And the spring is also a time for growth, and Lent is an opportunity for each one of us to grow spiritually. I was thinking that in days gone by, long before food was transported to us from around the world, Lent was perhaps naturally a period to cut back and to give things up because the crops that had been stored for over the winter would be running out. And the new growth, well, it wouldn't have yet borne any new fruit. Brother Roger of the Tazi community said that Lent is not a time for austerity or sorrow or a period to cultivate guilt, but rather Lent is a season to sing the joy of forgiveness. And he saw Lent as a period of 40 days in which to discover lots of little springtimes in our lives. Because Lent, he said, holds the promise of new discoveries and new growth. So whether you and I are giving up something or taking up something during this season of Lent, or like all good Presbyterians and doing neither, we can all take this opportunity to look at our own lives and our lifestyles and examine our relationship with God the Father, with Jesus Christ the Son, and to allow the Holy Spirit into our lives to guide and inspire us. Let's pray just now, and then we'll think some more about Lent. Gracious and merciful God, on this first Sunday of Lent, we come together to worship you, to praise and to thank you, to seek your forgiveness and to ask for renewal in our lives. Create in us a clean heart, O Lord, and put a right spirit within us. Loving God, we remember in this season of Lent the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, the pressures he faced, the choices he had to make, the evil he had to resist, And we remember the path he chose. We remember that though he was tempted as we are, he did not give way. Though he could have used his powers for his own ends, he used them instead for us. And though he could have taken the easy way, he took the hard. Loving God, forgive us that our testimony is all too often so different. Because we have failed you in so much, we've refused to take up our cross and follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We've not obeyed your commandments or loved as you have loved us, or in any way lived faithfully as your people. We've been narrow in our vision and weak in our commitment. We've been careless in our worship. We've been self-centered in our attitudes. And repeatedly we've preferred our own way to your way. And we've wandered at times far away from you. So loving God, have mercy on us. Renew us in heart and mind and spirit, and strengthen our wills and deepen our faith, and send us out once more as your people, forgiven and restored, to live and work for you. This we pray in the name of Christ, who taught his friends to pray together, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. We'll sing again.
The hymn is, O Lord, the clouds are...
My heart's got men, women, men, and that's not part of it.
Oh, Lord, I'll just tell them all the things, man. Yeah, I'll do that. Well, okay, sorry. I wasn't sure. Well,
I forgot to say it this morning.
Okay. Well, Lord, the clouds are gathering, and when we get to the chorus, it does split men, women, but I think if we all sing as men, Diana will put back in as a harmony to it, with the numbers that we've got rather than splitting up. Okay?
Try to watch a film at some point every week, usually on a Friday or a Saturday night. Sometimes it's a film that we've recorded from the TV or downloaded from Amazon. Other times it's a DVD or a Blu-ray. We've still got quite a few videotapes as well, but it's a while, I think, since we played any of them. And it's amazing how much films affect our daily lives. The clothes we wear, the music we listen to, even the way that we talk is often influenced by films. I came down the stairs this morning to listen to the soundtrack of Frozen. It's part of the soundtrack of our life. There was a questionnaire on a website which asked people, which famous phrase from the movies do you use most often in everyday conversation? Now, I've got some of the phrases that people quoted, and let's see if you can identify the films. If you build it, he will come. Well done. Mama always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Forrest Gump. We're going to need a bigger boat. Jaws. Beam me up, Scotty. Yeah, it was never actually said, but everybody thought it was said. May the force be with you. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. Very good. I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. Godfather, well done. Toto, I've got a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. And there's no place like home. Here's looking at you, kid. Well done. Go ahead, make my day. Dirty Harry, Clint Eastwood, yeah, Sudden Impact, Dirty Harry film. Here's another one. You talking to me? Taxi driver, yeah. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. Well done. Love means never having to say you're sorry.
It's a terrible conversation. It's terrible.
Yeah. It's actually in two films. Two Ryan O'Neill films. Same line. Love story. And then there was another film where that line is quoted to him and he says, what a ridiculous thing to say. E.T. Phone home. E.T. Show me the money!
What?
Jerry Maguire, well done. You can't handle the truth.
I don't like
a harder one, it's a military one. Few good men, well done, yeah. After all, tomorrow is another day.
Gone with the wind.
Gone with the wind, yeah. I'll have what she's having. Houston, we have a problem. Not 11.
13.
Goodness me, you saw it on Friday night. Okay. You had me at hello. Jenny Maguire as well, yes. Yeah. Here's one for Kevin. Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
I think I've seen that movie.
It's Godfather. Godfather 2. I see dead people. Six sounds. Serious. A boy's best friend is his mother. A boy's best friend is his mother. The clue's in the word mother. Psycho, yeah. My precious. Yeah. I feel the need for speed. Not turbo, no.
Top Gun.
Top Gun, yeah. Top Gun. Carpe diem. Seize the day, boys. Dead Poet Society. I'm the king of the world.
Rocky.
Not Rocky. No. Not Rocky.
Waterside.
No. Titanic. Yeah, Titanic. Yeah. Here's one. I have a bad feeling about this.
Star Wars.
Yeah, which one?
All of them.
All of them, and sometimes several times in the one movie. Very subtly, because the last movie, The Last Jedi, we listened to it really hard and could not hear that. And it was disappointing because we could not hear that line, I've got a bad feeling about this, until we switched the subtitles on. And at the start of the movie, the little round robot BB-8 goes beep, 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 and it's subtitled, I have a bad feeling about this. But do you know what the number one phrase was that people said they used the most often in everyday conversation? Have a guess. What do you think the number one phrase was? Comes from the Terminator. I'll be back. And in our Bible reading today, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. He ate nothing and he was hungry, and the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. And Jesus answered, no, the scripture says people do not live by bread alone. And the devil then took him up high and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, I'll give you all of these kingdoms and all authority over them if you worship me. And Jesus replied, the scripture says you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil took him to Jerusalem and took the highest point of the temple and said, if you're the Son of God, then jump off. The scripture says that God will order his angels to come and protect you and guard you, and they'll hold you up with their hands and you won't even hurt a foot on a stone. And Jesus answered, the scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. And then, do you know what the devil did? He gave up and he said, but I'll be back. I'll be back. And he was back. And he tempted Jesus again and again and again throughout his ministry, and especially at the end of the season of Lent during Holy Week, as Jesus was going back into Jerusalem, the ultimate temptation to turn away, to not go straight forward, but to divert the course of action. What did Jesus do when he was tempted? He turned to Scripture to answer the devil's temptation, and that's a great plan. When we do what the Bible tells us to, we're able to resist the devil's temptation. Yesterday at the presbytery meeting, I was paying tribute to Sandy Bertram, and one of the things about Sandy was he had an amazing memory for verses of Scripture, in the way that we've all remembered lines from the films. And wouldn't it be great if we could remember these verses of Scripture? And when the temptation comes upon us, we say, ah, yes, but God's word says. And that's how God wants to help us. He wants to speak his word to us, to give us the power to resist it. It doesn't mean that we'll always be able to resist. No, because we will fall and we'll fail. But you know, we have a gracious God who forgives us and welcomes us back and offers us salvation. We're saved alone through faith alone in Christ alone. The Reformation watchwords. The devil says, I'll be back. And we have God's word to help us to try to resist. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, over and over and over again, the devil tempts us to do things that we know we shouldn't do. Help us to study your word so that we will know how to resist the devil when he tries to lead us astray. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing and lift our offering.
I sang a song just 2 weeks ago, but now the friends are a Catholic service, so it's a completely different service altogether.
Indeed.
When I heard it was Trials and Temptations this morning, I couldn't resist. When trials come.
Near.
Precious your ways are good, your love endures, your ways are good. When I am weary with the cost, I see the triumph of the cross, so in its shadow I shall. Holy source of all good things, we bring our tithes and offerings to you in gratitude and in full knowledge that we are not deserving of the many blessings that you've poured into our lives. Our offering cannot begin to repay the many gifts that we've received, most clearly the gift of our redemption through your Son, Jesus Christ. May our act of giving be the proclamation of our hearts to all the world that we are so desperately in need of a Saviour, and in love you provided Jesus. By your love alone, we boldly pray in Christ's holy name. Life and Work magazine had a prayer for Lent. If you are the Son of God, I tempt you to use your power to satisfy yourself, to assert yourself, to prove yourself. But you, Lord Jesus, chose not to yield to temptation, for you knew that the power needed fed, but bread alone was not enough. The poor need fed, but bread alone was not enough. You understood your mission to bring in God's rule of justice and peace, but that glory belongs only to him. You trusted in your Father's loving care, but refused to abuse it for mere display. In the wilderness, Lord Jesus, led by the Spirit, you made the right choices and affirmed your identity. If we are the children of God, through you, dear Lord, then we too are led by the Spirit in our wilderness times of trial and testing. Like you, Jesus, may we know that we are not alone, for you have been there before us and your Spirit companions us. Like you, Jesus, may we make the choices that give God the glory in love of neighbour and ourselves. In this season of decision making, when we are called to make individual choices and to share in corporate ones, may we choose wisely. And when we find ourselves living with the consequences of choices made by others that are not of our choosing, may we respond with grace and the determined hope that God has called his children to work together for the common good. For when we act like the children of God, the desert rejoices and flowers bloom in the wilderness. Dear God in Christ, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forevermore. Amen. Our closing praise is the hymn, In Christ.
The Lord. righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. There on that cross, let's keep the mind of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid.
Go with us on our journey of faith, revive us when we grow weary, direct us when we go astray, inspire us when we lose heart, and reprove us when we turn back. Keep us travelling ever onwards, a pilgrim people looking to Jesus Christ, who has run the race before us and who waits to welcome us home. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this season of Lent, and remain with you always. Amen.
I suppose all the things you stay for more tea and coffee before you head out into the midwinter.